Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where you been all week? We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues in a little different way this week. Oh boy. We had a Monday of praise. Now, if there's no other way you want to shake the Monday morning blues, then start praising the Lord. Yep. Oh, we talked about the reasons why we have to rejoice. And man, I just want you to take a little moment, just a brief moment, and think about all the stuff God has done for you this week alone. Can't you rejoice? Excuse me. Now, if you think about all that God has done for you this week, that had nothing to do with you on Monday. That's not the same thing that you would have rejoiced for on Monday. But if on Monday you could not rejoice with us, then I'm hoping that maybe today was a day that you could sit back, or is a day that you could sit back and reflect and think about all the good things that God has done for you. And then, maybe then, there'll be a time to rejoice. Yes. We had a good time. Not only did I rejoice, but the Duke Time crew rejoiced. And not only did the Due Time crew rejoice, but our listeners started just sending through the reasons why they were rejoicing. So it was just a nice old little praise party going on over here. So I give God thanks for that. And we could not finish off a Monday properly unless we got our switch tip for the week. And the switch tip was the week of the week was tap into that different energy. And you know what? The praise day was definitely an opportunity for us to tap into that different energy. Yeah. Because, you know, we woke up thinking we were going to talk about, you know, the, what do you call that thing? The relationship, yeah. And the energy was different. The energy said, no, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to praise the Lord. Yes. We're going to praise the Lord. And, you know, I give God thanks that, you know, God kind of throws things our way sometimes that we're not expecting, just to see whether we're going with the flow or not. And that was a nice little impromptu praise that we had right before the switch tip. And then we got tapped into that different energy. Because, you know, sometimes when things take a shift, we don't know how to respond to it. And you've got to be able to go with the flow. Yeah, that's definitely underrated. Going with the flow. Doing what you're supposed to do. You know, I've been experiencing some stuff all week, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, if everybody looked at everybody else, they would see that person's wrong. They're wrong. But at the same moment, they're wrong. They're doing something blatantly wrong. I ain't even talking about no subtle stuff. But yet, they would want the other thing addressed. And yet, they're not addressing what they're supposed to do. So, you know, it causes you to tap into some different energy. Because if you're going to start acting the way everybody else is acting, you know, now, that's one thing. But when you do and respond the way God is going to respond, and you step back and you just watch what God is going to do, then you know what? That's going to cause you to tap into some different energies. Because you will have to learn to sit down and watch and pray. You're going to have to sit down and watch God move instead of you moving. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So if that ain't another way to tap into some different energy, I have no idea. So that's how we spent our Monday. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday church folk day rolled around, and we got to talking about these people. Oh, we got the Nigerians going buck wild now that they have started to kidnap folk. They're asking for ransom. And we're talking about a country where people don't have money. So what in the world are we doing out there? And we ended up in about the gentleman who shot and killed his child's mother. He put two bullets in the head of her mother. He went to the church, and on the property of the church, he unfortunately shot the one-year-old baby, and he committed suicide. And you know, we got to talking about now that, you know, all of this stuff is going on the church ground, inside of the church, yes, because we know that there have been some incidences that have taken place right inside the church. You know, what are we doing? You know, is the enemy helping us to just go in the opposite way? Because we know that all it takes is for a little wind to blow, and now, you know, all of a sudden people can't go to church. And, you know, how do we move forward when things like this go on right in the mouth of the church, right inside the church? So it was interesting to hear how our panel felt about all of the goings on and how we need to just simply learn how to move forward. You know, I still go back to say, you know, as an HR manager for many, many years, I've watched people go to work disgruntled, unhappy, annoyed, complaining, and nothing can stop you from going to that job. But, man, let somebody do something in a church, and we all twisted. I can't go back there. This is why I don't go back to church. So, you know, don't let that, you know, be the quote-unquote reason for you not going to church. Because as we all know, that's not the only church in town. That has nothing to do with your relationship with God. So that's how we spend our Tuesday. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and we started talking to our girl Vivian, and she started talking about this four-year-old in Texas who accidentally received a vasectomy instead of his scheduled and planned hernia repair. And we also heard about the 26-year-old delivery worker who shot at a Chick-fil-A worker and abandoned the car when he drove off and actually went back up to the car with the police standing there asking for his personal belongings out of the car. Well, you know, again, another dumb criminal. But again, the criminals can't even get it together. So what in the world is this world coming to? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we ended up speaking with our lady shortly thereafter, and we talked about the signs of a hardened heart. And insensitivity towards others definitely hit the list, which I couldn't even imagine it not hitting the list. You know, when you watch the way people act, the way people respond, the way people treat one another, yes, that is definitely an indication of a hardened heart. Sinful patterns. Absolutely an indication of a hardened heart, because that's how we begin the sinful process and we just don't seem to care. Because whatever has gotten to us continues. And it's a pattern of and a lifestyle now. And I don't know what people expect to happen once you begin those sinful patterns. And we're definitely talking about those dry devotional moments that you spent. It's definitely one. Woo! If that doesn't indicate a hardened heart, I don't know what will. So the ladies really did a fine job as always, and we were really down. We were down our normal ladies, but you know what? Thank God for Pastor Tim and Shantice, who got the job done and done well. Our Pastor Charlotte definitely gave us our faith over fear segment in regards to this hardened heart. Always, she took us out of the Wednesday with a bang. Now, we ended up rolling on to Thursday. Therapeutic Thursday was definitely a wonderful, wonderful time. And we talked about how we choose friends now at this point in our life. And one of the things we talked about was choosing a friend based on your targeted tomorrow, not your today. Because we have to think about where we're going. God spare our life. We really can't think about where we are, because today is only today. And it's not that we're worrying about tomorrow, but we've got to think about tomorrow. Yes. So when you plan on going into a tomorrow, then you definitely have to think about the people that are going with you, or at least who you would like to go with you. Okay? Make sure you think about that. And we talked about choosing friends based on their disposition and attitude. And I tell you one thing, the friend list definitely starts becoming shorter and shorter when you start thinking about people and their disposition and attitude. Because can I be honest? I want to deal with some family because of their disposition and attitude. So you know I'm thinking about friends or so-called friends when you come to their disposition and attitude. So, you know, that's something that God is really charging us with, if you think about it. Yes, because the Bible tells us don't keep company with an angry person. Ooh. So already he's telling you, watch the company you keep. Yeah, I keep telling you, it doesn't matter what you are going through in life. The Bible speaks of it. It gives you some level of guidance and insight. Whoa. We can't even duck and dodge how to choose a friend without finding it in the Bible. Yeah, it's there. God is determined to make sure that you have everything you need in order to make it in this life. Yes, he wants you to live a holy life, and you better believe he's going to equip you to do so. Even in your private time, you can find out what you need to do and what you need to not do. You don't have to necessarily go to church. Now, that's not saying that you don't belong in church. So don't go telling people that Pastor Steph said, because we definitely belong in church, because it says that too. It does. So what I'm saying is we don't necessarily have to be in a Bible study or be in church or be around someone else who is holy in order to know what it is that we need to do. God is ensuring that we have every tool we need to get the job done. Because once you spend your time reading and studying, and when you step away, you meditate on those things, voila, voila, you have no excuse. That's right. So, get it together. Get it together. Well, that's how we spend our week. And today is Freestyle Friday. And we get to do whatever we want to do. Well, you know what we do on Fridays. It's a men's day. And we are really taking the time to celebrate our men today, as we do every Friday, and we're looking forward to them giving us some wonderful stuff to take with us into the weekend. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and make sure you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
It's time to man up and get a checkup. Guys are more likely to put off or even outright ignore regular visits to their healthcare provider, and that's not part of a healthy lifestyle. Even if you feel fine, you still need to head in for a regular checkup. That way, you can get screened for any medical issues that you might not even be aware of and assess your risk for future problems down the road. Learn what to discuss at your next checkup from the Minnesota Academy of PAs at minnesotapa.org.
Well, welcome back. Good morning. And welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Freestyle Friday. And we are looking forward to hearing from the men. And we are so grateful that God has brought us safely through another week. Can you believe it? At Friday already? Already. And us getting to the end of the week is really nothing to sneeze at, as, you know, people are doing everyday regular things and it's just not happening. They're going to get back home the way they planned or anticipated. People are getting robbed and raped and murdered. And so the other day, Vivian brought us a story where I don't know what the lady was doing, just living her everyday life, and got shot with a water pellet gun in the back and ended up with a collapsed lung. And we don't know if that's going to start a series of issues in her life going forward. But all because somebody wanted to have what they considered fun. And now this lady can potentially have a change of life. So that's why, you know, every time we get an opportunity, we need to praise God. We need to praise the Lord. We need to give God thanks for all that he has done for us. All that he has done for each and every one of us. Am I right? Absolutely. So let's get to talking about this news. Now, I want to name this show Men Going Buck Wild. Yes, I could not believe the news I was picking up yesterday. Everywhere I looked, it was a story about a man who had lost his mind. And I'm like, yo, really? Of all times of the week, you know, we celebrate the men today on Fridays. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of men that we can really put our hands on and really say, you know, thank God. But, you know, when I looked at these stories, I was like, wow, there's even less. Wow. So, let's talk today. Well, as we go into the celebration of Father's Day this weekend, well, y'all go through the celebration of Father's Day because we don't celebrate that stuff anymore. But you know, fathers and sons have always been, you know, something that is supposed to be a big thing. And, you know, at least that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, we have this Fresno football coach who was fatally shot by his father. Now, this is really going to be a weird twist on things. So on Wednesday, officers arrested William Wright, 52, who is accused of killing his son, 31-year-old William Billy Wright, after they had an argument. But guess when? Okay, so let me tell you a story here. So the younger William, let's just call him Billy. So Billy was visiting his family and an argument ensued during the visit. Now, here's why I said this is just the weirdest twist. And that's why I said, you know, we are really in a decline of morals, logic, because here we have the two of them arguing over the proper way to discipline children. And the younger William, Billy, has at least one child. And during this disagreement, Big Billy, William, goes and gets a handgun and shoots the younger Billy in the chest. And that's why everybody's scratching their head. You have an argument over the way to discipline children, and it ends up with Big Billy killing Little Billy. So could Big Billy really tell Little Billy how to discipline children if he couldn't get the job done without pulling out a gun and killing him? Where is the logic here? I can't. He didn't die, you know, at the scene. Unfortunately, they rushed him, family rushed him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. And, you know, Big Billy William, you know, he stayed so he could speak to the police, and they arrested him on suspicion of murder. And, you know, I guess we end up with this, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But if all the people didn't told you that the reason why Little Billy is laying there dead at the age of 31, and it's because Big Billy William pulled out a gun on him and shot him. And that's what really makes it such a twisted story. And I'm going to say again. Big William shot Little William Billy over a disagreement as to how to discipline children. Well, needless to say, he was a big failure. He didn't do well getting that job done, did he? Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know, y'all. This is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, the next story in our men go buck wild. You have this mother of a six-year-old boy who is now speaking out over the experience that she and her six-year-old son experienced, him more than her, and she's trying to really call attention to this issue of just really selecting your caregivers a little better. And unfortunately, she's not a woman of God. I'm not saying that critically, but the reason why I say that is because if she's going to say something, she probably, a woman of God, would have said pray. You know, because we in and of ourselves cannot make these decisions on our own. You know, this world is just engulfed in sin. And no matter how we try independently to choose and make decisions, sometimes even our best decisions are just not met with the best results. And this is what she's talking about here when she says she went to this organization called, I think it's care.com, because she needed someone to babysit her six-year-old son while she goes to work. And she ended up with the little boy telling that the man that was hired to babysit him was actually sexually abusing him. And she said she's speaking out now to save other parents for, you know, from going through this. And she says, you know, I think we both have a forgiving heart and we just want to move past all of this. And, it, you know, and I guess she's also saying that to say, you know, she doesn't, you know, she hasn't developed any hatred for the, you know, for this individual. And she's asking that they do stricter background checks and, you know, all I can do as a mom, she says, is pretty much, you know, I'm going to care.com. I didn't pick this person off the street. I didn't put an ad in the paper. I went to you as a company who's supposed to do the groundwork. And when you present this list to me, you're supposed to be presenting a list of people who are supposed to be trustworthy, because you are supposed to have, you're supposed to have done the background work. You're supposed to have done the groundwork. You know, I don't have access to all of his background and, you know, his resume and all of this stuff. That's the whole purpose of me coming to you. And it doesn't really say how the little boy, Nick, got to the point of telling. But they say that while he was being interviewed at the children's hospital is when he told how this gentleman, if you will, abused him. And, you know, a little gory, but it says, you know, how he licked and touched him inappropriately. So this just goes to show you that this stuff is growing, that the abuse is growing. And that's why I said, you know, look at God, because a lot of children don't talk. But he was able to give that level of detail. And so not only did God give him the strength, but he gave him the ability, because remember that he's only six, and you have older children. You have adults who can't, you know, muster up that kind of strength to, you know, get this job done in relaying. I had grown people tell me, I don't know how to communicate. And I'm like, really? Simple stuff? No, simple, stupid stuff. And here you have this six-year-old boy who was able to describe and say exactly what was done with him, to him. And, you know, we give God thanks because, you know, if only part of the story was told, then only part of the charges, the proper charges, could be rendered against this man. So, you know, watch as well as pray, because we're looking at a list that we're choosing from. And, you know, she could have gotten another, you know, person on that list. And she chose a man, again, like those women who chose the Catholic priest to help when there wasn't a father in the home. And look what they did. What about the Boy Scouts? How many women and mothers, single mothers, have put their children into Boy Scouts to help make them more responsible and teach them, you know, little tools that they need to grow up and blah, blah, blah. And look what they did. So you really got to keep this stuff before the Lord. I'm just glad I ain't got no kids. anymore, you know, and now I just have to worry about little Mariah. And I tell you, my head is like swimming, thinking about, you know, how often we have to pray for not just Mariah, but the children in the church and your family's children and your friends' children and the children of the world. Because this world is becoming worse and worse and worse. And, you know, we're praying for little Nick because, you know, he needs healing. God needs to heal him, you know, from all of what he's gone through and what he will potentially go through. So, again, men gone buck wild. And then I'm going to say again, men gone buck wild as this sick dad. On to the next story. Who is so angry with mom that he takes it out on the children. So you have this Chicago man who, are you ready? Oh, my heart is just breaking. Who's charged with the drowning death of his three children. And he tried to leave this note and kill himself, but it didn't work. Thank you, God. He's going to have to pay and not die like the coward he is. The baby, 5, 3, and 2. 5, 3, and 2. And when they went to do a child well check, they found this note. And they found him bleeding because he had attempted to commit suicide, but it didn't work. And he and his ex-wife shared custody of the children, and they are in some bitter brawl, and he wrote a note saying, if I can't have them, neither can you, and he drowns the babies. Why? Oh, my God. How do they become a part of your madness? So your hatred for her is bigger than and greater than your love for your children. And now they're pawns in your madness. So this is what you do when you are angry and you hate the parents. And it's really, I'm just a little speechless, you know, as I'm reading this. This is the way you handle your hatred. You know, he ended up, excuse me, in a car chase, him and the police officers. And like I said, they found his blood in the house from the attempts to hurt himself. And it doesn't say how they ended up in the car chase, but he ended up crashing the car. And when they found him is when all of it ended up coming out. The entire story ended up coming out. And, you know, if he wanted to hurt her, oh, he definitely knew how to do that. You know, it's funny. Shantice was talking about her father the other day. And It's a dysfunctional relationship. And she was talking, and I said, Shanti, if I never told you before, I'm sorry. Because when you think about, boy, can we pick them. And I'm thinking about this mom. You don't have your children because you chose somebody who was depraved, maniacal, hateful. You know, is hate really that deep? Well, I'm about to answer that question. Because here we have another man. That's why I told you this weekend, this today's episode is men going buck wild. So you have this Texas mom who says she was watching TV with her children in bed when her ex-boyfriend shows up and demands a TV that he believed was his. So Jeremiah Jones, 22, rips the TV from the wall and then demands that she turn over her phone to him because he thinks she's seeing someone else. So she said she gave him the phone and they argued in front of her apartment. And she says he then went back in the house and went in the back bedroom where the children were. So she heard two gunshots. He left out the bedroom and ran off. Before he runs off, he forces her at gunpoint to the ground, and then he shoots her in the shoulder. Then he drove away. And when she goes into the bedroom, her 9-year-old daughter was shot in the head. How do we get here, y'all? How do we get here? How do we get here? This ain't got nothing to do with mental illness. This ain't got nothing to do with none of that. This is pure hatred. These children had nothing to do with your issue. But again, to hurt her, you leave her. You shoot the kid, and then you shoot her in the shoulder. So clearly, his thought was to make her pay. Because the shot in her shoulder could never hurt as much as knowing that her child died because she chose the wrong man to be in her life. Now, it says that he's 22 and she's 29. So pretty much, she was dealing with a baby. Because you ain't nobody when you're 22 years old. You ain't nobody. You somebody still stupid. Because we still stupid at 62. So they did find him. Thank God. They did find him. And he wasn't dead. And he was arrested and charged with capital murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And your heart just bleeds for these children. Your heart just bleeds for these children because they have nothing to do with this. They have nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. And now they're not here. 9? What were the other ages? 9? Let me get the ages of the babies. 5, 3, and 2. In one day, I can talk about 4 innocent deaths because this world has so much hatred in it. And I know the man might be saying, well, we get the day when we get the... Well, listen, I can't control the news. this is what we're talking about. Well, on a little funnier note, and I'll end, you know, that series of stories with this. So back in 1978, the gas prices were 69 cents. And now the gas is as high as $6.99, at least in California, because the other day when I was riding in the car from the doctor and rolled past the, gas station and saw 515, I thought I would faint. I was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? Well, again, let's go over that again. Back in 1978, gas was 69 cents. And now gas, they say the average gas in California is $6.43 per gallon. Well, the people of California, let's put it like that, boy, did they get a blessing when they pulled up to the gas station and saw the gas was 69 cents a gallon. So I don't have to tell you how the line must have been up the block, around the corner, and into the next town as people filled their tanks on the 69 cent per gallon gas. And they said several hours had gone by. Of people flocking to this station before the service worker at the Shell gas station realized that the gas was set at 69 cents instead of $6.99. It cost the Shell company $16,000. Oh my goodness. In a matter of hours, they lost $16,000. Now, I know I haven't been a cashier since I think Tamasia was born. I took a job at Target, it was Caldor at the time. And ain't no way in the world I would see these people buying this stuff here and not wonder why all of a sudden everybody is all of a sudden buying toilet paper and, you know, so quickly. And they got 2 and 3, you know, packs. Well, when he saw the line around the corner and up the block and into the next county, it ain't never dawned on you to just take another look at something or ask a question, or all of a sudden you became the best gas station in town and it never occurred to you to do any checking? Come on, y'all. Let's think about this thing. You know, generally you may have a good business, especially based on where you are. You know, we always go to Jersey and get our gas when we're traveling, and the line is always long. But, you know, if you now notice that the line is so long that it's reaching the highway today, then it would make you wonder and look around. So he was fired, needless to say. But can you imagine? He admitted that he made a mistake and put the decimal in the wrong spot. And man, oh man, did they have a party. And ain't nobody told, yes, I said it just like that, ain't nobody told why they were at this gas station. Nobody said, oh, thank you, thank you. Y'all must have a big sale today. Yeah, no, I don't know what happened. I don't know. It doesn't say how it was found out. he just really, and, you know, just is scratching his head. And he said that he put all the three prices on the board, but the last one, he said he, yes, it just didn't take. And, well, thank God he didn't mess with the diesel. Yeah, because it says the three except the diesel. Because, man, if diesel went for 69 cents, oh, they would be out of a whole lot more money than $16,000. So I just thought I'd throw that one in just to kind of make you smile. I know you wish you were the one driving the car in California. I know. But unfortunately, it's not us. So let's say good morning to our men today. And let's say good morning to Brother Al. Let's see if Brother Al's ready. Brother Al, are you ready over there?
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I had to catch myself. I was getting in my car to head to California. I had to catch myself. I'm about to go get that gas.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Everything is good. No. Good. That's all good. Let me give you my quote real quick. So my quote for the morning is, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seed that you plant. That's by my man, Robert Louis Stevenson.
Okay. All righty now. Oh, thank you for that quote today. Get us started. Well, Brother Al, this week seems to be men gone buck wild. We start off with the story of Dad, Big Billy Williams, 52, has a visit from Little William Billy, and 31. And as he's visiting, or while he's visiting the family, they get into an argument about the proper way to discipline children. And the argument got so heated that Big William ended up shooting and killing Little William Bill. What in the world? I mean, are you going to be an authority over the way you discipline children when you can't even converse with your son without pulling out a gun and shooting and killing him? Brother Al, really?
That's crazy. Well, we already know he don't know how to discipline. He took it to a full level. That's insane. So y'all talking about how to discipline. Okay, you do it this way, I do it this way. And then you're going to say, no, that ain't how I do it. This is how you do it, and you kill your son. That's crazy. Absolutely insane.
Isn't it? I mean, this is a real life, this is how we do it. Example, and ultimately becoming, this is not how you do it, because Brother Al, this here, and you know, they say that this Little Billy was really a model citizen. He was a coach for college and a football coach, and he really had a wonderful upbringing. He's had a wonderful football career that kind of launched him into becoming a football coach. And they say he is definitely worthy of, like, getting the Coach of the Year award. Really a wonderful example setter as to how to be a good man, a good gentleman. And he had at least one child of his own. And unfortunately, he's not here anymore. This is just too sad. All right, Brother.
Yeah, and now he's going to jail for a very long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, Big Bubba going to discipline you.
Yeah. You gave away your life, Brother Al, because you're only 52 years old. Big boy
exactly.
is not old. I mean, he's young.
But you know, too, the way it sounded, it sounded like this might not have been the only disagreement that they had, because I can't see that just happening. You know what I'm saying? They had to be some further, past, some further heated disagreement.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you 100%. You're not going to, more than likely, you're not going to shoot from the first time. No, this is something that this has been simmering a minute. And, you know, this is how, you know, Big William decided to just handle this particular argument because he was done. He was over. And, you know, whatever y'all have argued about in the past surely didn't need to culminate with this type of occurrence. So you have this other father who is angry with the mother of his children, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and 2-year-old babies. And they have shared custody, and for some reason, they're not getting along. And he then takes and drowns the children, and he leaves a note that says, "If I can't have them, neither can you." Now, thank God, you know, there was an attempt to take his life, but it did not manifest into him succeeding. And, you know, he had them on a car chase, and he crashed the car. And, you know, now they're able to charge him. And what kind of drew me also to this story is because we just got finished talking about this bond and this bail issue. When I saw the word bond, I almost threw the whole iPad. But I'm glad I did not throw my iPad, because they said that he is being held on $10 million bond, and they really, really are trying to fight this cash bond business for this particular case. So, and you should see the pictures. It's two little boys and one little girl, and they are so adorable. I just happened to look over on the side, and the three of them are so cute. Oh, my goodness. 5, 3, and 2, and he drowns them. Brother Al, where's the breakdown here? Where's the breakdown for fatherhood?
You know, these guys, they get obsessed with these women. Then when they see, okay, this woman that moved on, and you can't do anything to get her upset, oh, she loved these kids, so let me get at these kids. But you realize that these are your kids too, idiot. You know, so they figure that I can hurt her by hurting these kids, and they're not thinking everything through. Something? Okay, so then you can go home and come back.
Wow.
He looking, and it's like, okay, you know what? I know how to get her. Let me hurt the kid. And just let that evilness just take over.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Oh, wait, this evil is taking over. We're going to come back to that statement in a minute. But we have our last story here. 9-year-old little girl also suffers the consequence of two adults fighting. You have this 22-year-old Jeremiah Jones, who has an ex-girlfriend, and he comes, takes the TV off the wall, and, you know, he demands that she give him the phone, because he's saying she's cheating and seeing other people. And they're no longer together. They're outside arguing in front of the apartment. He goes inside. 2 gunshots. He comes out. He shoots her in the shoulder. And he runs off. He drives off. for her to go back in the house and find her 9-year-old child shot in the head. And thank God they did catch him later. And they're charging him with capital murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And it's like, what do you say now? What do you say?
You know, my mouth just dropped as I hear these stories. Like, you know, I've been with women. I've had women as my girlfriend when I dated. And if I gave them something, and then I'm not seeing them more, or broke up badly, or whatever the case, I don't sit there asking for this stuff back. Okay, this is doing our relationship. Okay, we're not together no more, then move on. And these guys, you're taking these babies' innocent lives because you're mad at the mother. You're so mad, you go over there to rip a TV off the wall. Right now, you can get TV for $200, $300. $100 now. You know, they're so cheap. So you just figure, I'm going to go over to her house, I'm going to snatch this off the wall. And it wasn't about the TV. It was to make her mad, to get a reaction. Then you're going to go and kill the baby. You know, people like that, they should dig up the jail and put them under the jailhouse. And that's just, you know, it breaks my heart. And I'm like, wow, you got the kid suffering. So now your thing is, you know what? I'm going to make her suffer by hurting this child or killing this child. I know I'm going to go to jail, but you know what? I'd rather go to jail, but it's worth it to see her hurting. That's just insane.
Yeah. This is really just an upswing of insanity. It really, really is. Oh, well, you've already gotten your heart broken because you cannot get to California. They have now put the prices back in proper order. And thank you so much for joining us today, Brother Al. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back to continue this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Man, I haven't heard that one in a long time.
All right, all right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
Well as well, thank you.
Good. All right, Pastor Kale, we are on Men Gone Buck Wild this Freestyle Friday. And we're starting off with Big William killing Little William Billy because they can't seem to come to an agreement on the proper way to discipline children. What are we talking about here? I mean, are you now setting an example as to this is the way we discipline our children? By shooting him?
I don't know that he learned a lesson. I don't think that was a good way, you know, to discipline somebody by shooting them. I mean, if you die, how do you learn from that?
Oh,
you know, okay. I mean, listen, even if, you know, you get hurt, you know, how do you learn from that? You know, I'm mad now.
Right.
I'm not going to say, okay, I won't do it anymore. Now I'm trying to kill you.
Man, this is definitely not an example-setting method to be used, you know. And now he has Lil Billy has at least one son. So now what have you shown your grandchildren, you know, that
he better,
this is
that he better eat his vegetables?
Man, I tell you. Amazing. All right, Pastor KL. we're talking about this father who is so angry with mom that he drowns the three children with a note, if I can't have them, neither can you. What, you know, it's elevated. Elevated from if I can't have you, no one will. To them, if I can't have, if I can't have them, neither can you. What in the world is happening out here?
Well, the only thing I can detect from that story and that conversation is that there had to have been an argument preceding this incident with him not being able to see his children or not able to get his children.
No, they have. That's what nobody can figure out. They have shared. The two of them have shared custody. That's why
wow.
It's like such. It's such a head scratcher because it says the parents shared custody of the children, but did not live together. That's why it's like, well, what was your problem? Yes, they have shared custody. That's how he had them in his possession.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of men can't take, you know, women moving on. You know, and sometimes, you know, I heard Brother Al said, you know, sometimes you're so obsessed, you know, with the woman. But sometimes it's, I don't really want you, but I don't want nobody else with you either. You know, I mean, when you go around and you do all this stuff that you do, you know, it's clearly you don't really want her. You know what I mean? But I don't want nobody else to have you. You know, they say, well, one man's garbage is another man's treasure. You know, but I like my garbage. You know, I put out my garbage out on the curb and I bring back the garbage can when it's done. You know, so sometimes it's, I don't want you. Or I could want you so much that, you know, I don't want nobody else to have you either. And I don't want, you know, people like, I don't want nobody around my children. I don't want another man around my children. Because the day I walk up and they call, and I'm hearing them calling another man daddy, you know, it's really going to be crazy.
Wow. We just went into our extended conversation today. And I'm definitely coming back to that. We got this 9-year-old baby, like I said earlier, in one swoop. One night I go to look for news, and there are four children who have been sacrificed for this maniacal behavior. And he's 22 years old, which is, show, you know, he's just a dumb kid. You know, he goes, he takes the TV off the wall, and, you know, he demands that the girl give him the woman, 29, gives him the phone because he thinks she's cheating. And when, you know, and she does. She does give him the phone. So, you know, I guess she figures if I give him the phone, this will calm him down. And somehow or another, they end up outside the apartment arguing. He goes back inside. Two gunshots she hears. He comes back. He forces her, puts the gun to her head, forces her to get on the ground. And then he shoots her in the shoulder. And when she goes back into the home, she finds her 9-year-old baby shot in the head. And, you know, now he's off. He strictly gave up his life because he's going away for capital murder. And I believe this is in Texas. And I think in Texas, when you're charged with, when you are found guilty of capital murder, that's an automatic, I think Texas is the place where it's an automatic
lethal injection.
No. I don't think they have the, they're not doing the death penalty, but they're one who you go away for life without parole automatically. It's not even like they got to scratch their head and think about this thing. I think this is the place. Unless it is one with the lethal injection. But I believe that Texas is one, being based on some other stories we've done. Is it worth it? At the end of the day, is it worth it?
Not at all. I mean, listen, you know, I've had many arguments, you know, with women. I haven't found any woman
that makes me that crazy where, one, I want to kill somebody, or two, you know, I think that a jail cell is a better opportunity for me. You know, I mean, no matter whether there's no AC in my house, my option is not jail. That's not going to be my alternative. You know, and to shoot the child, to shoot the child, was just to get at the woman. He wanted the woman to hurt. But I guess my question was that his child as well or just her child?
It doesn't say that it was that he was the father. And if she's
if he's not the father, then not only did he destroy her, but he destroyed the father's life as well and the father's family. You know, when we do things, you know, we affect more than just who you want it to affect. You know, there's other people, other pawns or other people in the game that didn't know they were playing. And you didn't give them, you know, a good standing to fight for themselves. You just said, okay, I'm putting you in the game. You don't know when it's your turn. And this is what I'm going to do. You know, even in the game of chess, every piece has a purpose. And you know the purpose. And you know that you're in the game. And everyone protects the queen. So who had the opportunity to protect the queen? Nobody. They didn't even know the game had started.
Yeah, this is. You know, I think about the story, the news story starts off that she was in the bed looking at TV. So she's in the bed looking at TV, then they probably were in the bed as well. And, you know, this is, you know, you go to, again, we talked about this the other day, about you not being safe in your own home. Forget about being in the wrong place at the wrong time or, you know, you just living life and doing what you do. You're literally in your bed. You've gone to bed for the night. And someone comes and invades that space and murders you. And they are calling it a straight execution because he shot her in the head. And, you know, thank God there was no suffering, hopefully. You know, hopefully, you know, she didn't lay there and have to endure that. Just sick. You know, I want to go back a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor KL. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to go back to this thing because most women have experienced this thing. You know, you date this person or you have somebody living with you, and when they get mad, Brother Al brought it up, and I said I wanted to bring it up. Funny that you two kind of stepped into some stuff that I wanted to talk about. But now he's so mad, he's going to start pulling TVs and taking CDs and you're going to take your pillow back. You know, all this kind of stupid stuff. But you know, Brother Al, why are we there? You know, you said you didn't do it, but why are we there? Why are we now you're going to go and now you're going to start pulling out every little thing you didn't bought. Now you didn't went into her house. You moved into her apartment. But when you leave, you taking the pillow, you're taking the stuff there, you're taking, you ain't got nothing to really take, but you take it. What is that about?
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, they crazy. You know, I mean, they get so angry, and when they get so angry, they start figuring out how can I hurt this person. And like I said, they just let the evil. That's when the enemy starts saying, be like, well, you should do this or you should do that, and they just do it without thinking. It's like us as men, from what I've seen, if there's something happening between us and a woman, especially if you're hurt, and it looked like this person is living their life and they not hurt, oh, no, you just, I'm hurting and you sitting there chilling? Oh, no. you're going to hurt, and I'm going to figure out a way how to make you hurt. And I know that because I used to be a revengeful person. And if you did something to me, I had to get you back. There was no question. And I sit there and I'll plot on how can I make this person feel the pain that I feel. And that's what they do. It's revenge. It's I got to get you back. You ain't going to sit there and be happy, and I'm upset, and I'm miserable. No, that ain't happening. And that's how they get there.
All righty. Well, thank you. Kathy Kale, we're talking specifically about possessions. And when you get mad as a man, you might have moved up into her apartment. But when you get mad and it's time to go, you're going to collect not just your drawers. You collecting the CDs you bought. You taking back the little stuffed animal you gave her. What is that about? Now, we can assume as women, but coming from a man's perspective, what is that about?
All right, well, let's look at it from this point. Watch this. When you rent an apartment or a house, you know, whatever colors was on the wall, you know, you have to, when you leave, you have to bring it back to the original style. So if I bought all this stuff and I'm leaving, you know, in my mind, and I'm not saying in my mind personally, but in the mind of the man, if you're moving on, he's not going to enjoy the fruit of my labor. So if I bought this TV for us, and now there's no us, the 72-inch, he's not going to enjoy the football game. Because in a man's mind, if this is who you chose over me, then he should be able to be better than me and do better than me. So he can provide the things that I provide. You know, one thing I tell my girls all the time, if your boyfriend or your husband can't maintain you the way that your daddy do, it's time for you to come home. So if I'm no longer your cup of tea, that's okay. But me and the sugar and the ice and the water got to go.
And you know what's funny? Because that's what it boils down to. But here's why that doesn't make sense to me. Because when you met me, and see, this is why we got to do things the right way.
When I met you, you had no TV. You had no TV?
No, I did. I did have a TV. Cut it out. I did have a TV. I had the apartment. You moved into my space.
Right.
So you didn't pay the security and the rent for me to get up in here. And you didn't have to pay security and rent to move up in here with me. I opened up my door. I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, and it may not be my personal experience, but you know, this is how it goes down. So you move up into her space because you might be coming out your mama's basement. And now, because you done bought a little garbage TV, you're going to take the TV off the wall. You're going to take the teddy bear back. You're going to take the ice and the water. You're going to take the ice, the water, and the pitcher you brought. Are you serious?
Okay,
I gotta take the teddy bear, but I'm gonna pull the head off it.
When you came up in here, you didn't bring what you walked up into. So that's why I'm asking, how you were still at home talking about mom, don't touch my juice.
But wait, okay. No, let's go a little further. Because if I came up in there, then apparently I paid some of the bills. You know what I mean? I didn't just come in there and lay down. I paid some of the bills, which is a great help on you.
I paid
my share. We didn't move in this thing together. You was already there. Huh?
We're not talking about paying the bills. Because bills are going to, whatever bills you incurred, you help incur these bills. We talking about what you taking when you leaving, punk.
Yeah, but you just said Well, you came into my house and you didn't do the rent or all the deposit. But when I came in there, I helped you sustain the rent. So yeah, you put that out. But if I'm here for a year, you know, these bills are still going to be here whether I'm here or not. But I'm helping you pay it.
Right.
So therefore, you know, I've helped you. That's my security in order to stay there. I pay these bills. You know, so when I leave as I came. Naked, I come into the world, and naked to your house be.
I knew a scripture was coming somewhere.
All right, Brother Al. What's your theory based on what you just heard? Now, listen, before you go anywhere, I'm honestly not talking about sustaining bills. I'm with that because, first of all, if, like I said, as you're paying the bills, you've incurred those bills. You've helped to make them. If you help me pay the con ed, well, you didn't go to the bathroom in the dark. You didn't. You had to, you know, your phone got charged, you know, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, you know, us sharing bills or whatever. What I'm talking about is the whole thing was I came in here and I brought this with me, or I bought this while I was here. But, and now when I leave, I got to take the water and the ice and the pitcher that I bought while I was here. And the reason why I brought up the fact that, well, when you walked in, you still walked in kind of empty-handed, because although you helped to maintain the bills, you helped to incur the bills. When you got here, you didn't necessarily, we didn't move in here together. So that's what I'm saying. So now when you leave, you got to take the CDs, the CD rack. I mean, I've really heard of some men, I mean, so petty. So, okay, Brother Al, based on what Pastor KL said, what's your thought?
Well, I see things a little different. I'm not taking the teddy bear. I might pull the head off the teddy bear, but I'm not going to take it. You know. I'm just joking on that. But on a serious note, I'm total opposite. Yes, okay, I came in the house with you and I helped you pay bills. But if I was at my mother's house, I'd be helping pay bills. You got to pay to live somewhere. So if I ain't at your house paying bills, I'd be home with my mother paying bills, and that's mama making me a mama's boy. So I scratch that out the window. I should be helping you stay in your house. But when I leave, I'm just going to take the things that I bought, my stuff. If we used to live in there and we bought a TV, okay, I'm going to put a TV on because you ain't got a TV. When I leave, for me, the TV is going to stay. Okay, well, listen, I bought it while we were together. I bought it for the house. It stays. I'm just going to take my stuff. I'm not going through all that drama and stuff. I'm leaving with my things.
And that's pretty much what I'm talking about. You know, if you bought it, you bought it, and now it's community property. It says he came and he took the TV off the wall. That ain't the first time I've heard that happen. You know, where he going to now take the – he can't even carry the TV. But he took the TV off the wall so that I'm – how do we become so vindictive and hateful – you know, and we were so in love at one point. What happened?
Wait, you know,
to
Pastor,
a man's psyche?
Wait, you know what happened to Pastor Steph? This is why all my life I never agreed with the boyfriend and girlfriend living together. If we're going to live together, we have to be married. I have women, oh, why we ain't living together? Because we're not married. Oh, you old school. No, because if I'm living with you, we're doing married things, so why not be married? I always disagree with that boyfriend and girlfriend living together. This is where this nonsense come in at. Now, if you're married and then y'all separate and stuff like that, then the court will make a decision on what goes where. But that other stuff, I'm not doing that.
And I agree with you absolutely, brother.
This is why it happened. These girlfriend and boyfriends living together. Now you left. Now you mad. You want to rip the TV off the, or you want to rip the TV off the wall. You want to come in with a hand truck and try to take the refrigerator that you bought.
You know?
know, that's how
and,
I know.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I said in the beginning, I agree with you 100%, Brother Al. I said, this is why we have to learn to do things the right way. Because now
Pastor
you
Pastor Joe, crazy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, whatever I got a receipt for is coming. I don't need a fuck. If I got a receipt, it's coming. Why should I have to start completely? Why should I have to start completely over? I got a TV. I got a bedroom suit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
when I got here, you was on a twin bed. Now your daughter got the twin bed. Go get the bed out the daughter room.
You know, okay, come on. 347-285-7777. I know it's late in the game, but I want to know what you think. Come on, listeners. Let me know what you think about this whole, you know, he got to take it with him. I'm going to name this show, and he had to take it with him. you know, that's. And you know what? Unfortunately, that's probably the way a lot of them do think. You know, you didn't have this before I got here, and you know, what's going on when I leave? You shouldn't be missing none of this stuff because you didn't have it when I got here. Well, instantaneously, there is a comment, gentlemen, and you know who it's from. All right, Shanti, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I can tell you're ready to go ahead at it, so go ahead at it.
Yes, because the music reminded me of a story. I had a friend who heard her boyfriend got a condo together, and something bust out, and it was a big thing, and she kicked him out. He said he was leaving, but he ripped the TVs off the wall, two flat-screen TVs, but left them wrapped up in the clear wrap on the floor. So obviously he ain't have no way to take them when he left. But he ain't want her watching. So he took them off the wall, wrapped them up as if he was about to move them, but left them on the floor. And I went over there and I was like, are the TVs seriously? I said, you better than me, because if I had to break my back putting these TVs out for garbage, I would have. Because that's just spiteful. Like, really? How petty? Now, I know I could think of 90 different ways to be petty within 3 seconds. But what is the point in me taking them off the wall if I can't take them with me? Is that enough you want to take it with you? But left them right there on the floor, on the same wall that they were on.
You know what? It is petty. And it shows, again, you ain't got nowhere to take him. So I can guarantee you, he didn't come from nowhere either. Wait, did they get this place together?
They got it. They got the place together, which was a little weird for me to hear that. I guess she kicked him out or something. She has to have kicked him out. Not a thing about it. She has to have told him to leave. And he ain't have nowhere to go. Because I can't see us both getting this place together. And I'm saying I'm leaving, but then I ain't got nowhere to go. You ain't forget you ain't have nowhere to go. So she must have kicked him out. And she must have kicked him out. And he ain't have nowhere to go, but he ain't want her to watch a TV that I guess he bought. And that's what I said. I would have gotten extra petty. I'd have put him out the bottom. Now
How you kicking me out in the place we got together? How that happening? When did you do that?
Listen, I didn't say I agree with that part either. I'm just telling you, we talking about the TV part. We talking about the kicking out part. The segment is petty
we gonna pick the good part that we like about the story. So we wrong.
We ain't got no time
wrong.
To focus on all parts. We ain't got no time to focus on all parts. We focusing on the way that I take with me part. And he took with him the TV. He took it with him two steps, and that was it.
Well, I think he was stupid because he couldn't take the TVs with him because he broke them.
Broke the TVs.
He
got broken
no,
TVs.
They were, that was dumb. No, they
and they don't have the stand.
They were mounted on the wall, and he just detached it from the wall, wrapped it up as if, you know, like I'm about to get out the house. They sitting on the floor,
working,
leaning up against the same wall it was on. The TVs weren't broken.
Okay, so he had to put it on a table and lean it on. They had them on stands.
No, they were on the, they were on the floor.
Yeah, but what I'm saying,
he
if he took it with him,
him on the
he would have had to lean it on Jesus or use the Bible.
Right,
right. That was a
right.
dumb move.
He ain't too bright.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I left
see,
it
when
right
when
you're
angry, you don't think
straight.
He's angry, so he
so
wasn't
what
thinking straight.
So, right, okay.
So,
so,
right, okay, so.
Okay, Brother Al. So, here we are. Now, Shanti says you're put out. Thank you, Shanti. Thank you. So, you're getting put out. Now, instead of leaving the TVs up on the wall, because I would like to think she's not putting them out for no reason, so you get put out, and you're angry, so you pull the TVs down to leave them up against the wall. Wouldn't it have made more sense to leave the TVs up and then take them down when you came back? Because clearly you're coming back, because she wouldn't have let you leave them up against the wall if you weren't coming back. So wouldn't you wait until you were you had some place to take the TVs to?
Yeah, if that was the case. But like I said, he was so angry he wasn't thinking. And there's several components with that. Now, if he snapped it, obviously he got angry. They said he ripped the TV off the wall. So obviously he didn't have no tools to unscrew the bracket from the wall. If anybody know anything about these brackets on the wall, them brackets, you ain't ripping those brackets out the wall.
That's
they
right.
hold on
That's
to
the right.
TV. So therefore, when you ripped it off, you didn't mess up something in the back of that TV. Now, when you didn't mess that up, you also don't have the stand to put on the TV. Because when you buy a TV and come with the stand, nobody used the stand because you put them on the wall.
Right.
So now you don't have
right.
the stand to put the TV up. So what you going to do, lean it against the wall and watch it?
I agree, Brother Al, because when you said he ripped the TV off the wall, you ain't got, let me tell you something, I watched Darrell put this TV up on my wall. You ain't ripping, like you said, you ain't ripping this stuff down. In order for it to be mounted and not fall off the wall, it has to be secure. So when you took it down off the wall, I'm questioning how was it even up on the wall, because that ain't no 1, 2, 3 thing. I ain't giving you no time to go get no screwdriver and take this TV down off this wall. So by that time, the cops would have been there. You wouldn't have no time to ask me for my phone, because you could go, while you got the screwdriver taking the thing off the wall, now I'm calling the cops. Or maybe she figured, let him take the TV. You know, I'm not going to fight you, because she also gave up the phone as well, and it was her phone. So hold on, Brother Al. Let me talk to Pastor KL. All right, Pastor KL. Well, since we can't talk at the same time, there's crazy echoing, I'm going to put my question out there, and then I'm going to let you talk. So with the situation that Shanti gave, you know, instead of you waiting to get to the point where you had somewhere to take it, then come back and take it off the wall, are you telling me that this is just anger that's got you taking it off the wall and leaning it up against the wall after you'd wrapped it up?
Well, first of all, yeah, it's definitely anger because you're not thinking it through. But you're also thinking, you know, maybe she might not let me back in. And then when you came to yourself and realized you ain't had no car to get these TVs, you just put it up against the wall. You know, he probably took the phone because he paid a phone bill. You know, so like I said, anything with a receipt in my name is coming with me. So, I mean, that's probably the issue. Who you calling on my phone? It's my phone. You ain't have a phone when I met you. In fact, it was the kids was using up your phone so much you put a payphone in their room. So no, I'm not doing it. I'm taking my phone. You know, listen, I take the rug and the dog.
You know what? You are so funny.
Listen. Wait a minute. On Shanti's story, so we can't even go back to your premise. So I paid half to get into this house or to get into this apartment. And now you telling me, I don't know how he fell for the okie doke, that I got to get out? Then you know what? Right. Because I'm not going to get my security back because I'm gone. So I need to catch up. You know what I mean? If you had kids and we didn't have kids, that Sega Genesis or PlayStation got to come with me. Go buy your kids a PlayStation. They were playing Donkey Kong when I got here.
So wait, so you would deny the children? You know, I can't. You go. The kids are playing. Okay, so the kids are playing the game and they got the remote in their hand. What do you do?
Hey, last game. Listen, how many times do we hear, how many times do women say, listen, this is a package deal. Okay, it's time for me to take my package. I'm going to give you your package back, and I'm going to take my package back. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no way. Okay, let's go back to the Bible. There's no way you're going to live off the fruit of my labor. You know, and I'm gone somewhere else. I got to pay 1 month rent, 1 month security. I got to go through credit checks. My credit might not be that good now after I got this apartment. And now I got to furnish this place. All my furniture is in what y'all call that stuff? Storage. You know what the storage is? Your house. I'm coming to the storage to get my stuff.
All right. So let me put. Okay. So check this out. So. He's 22 and she's 29. Are we really believing that he was as established?
Well, if this man is taking off TVs, he had a few dollars.
Listen, KL, Pastor
he borrowed
KL,
the money. He borrowed him, he borrowed the money from his mother.
Come on, I go back to what Brother Al said. TVs are a dime a dozen now. You know, you
well, give me my dimes. Give me back my dimes.
When you first bought this, you know, when anybody TVs now, they cost $2. So, okay, so he was able to get a TV. And now you pulling the TV. He's 22 years old. She is 29 years old. He didn't bring the same thing to the table that she did. So
listen,
why you could
Pastor
leave
Steph,
the TV on the
Pastor Steph, Pastor Steph.
Yeah.
Do not despise small beginnings. You know, I gotta say what the Bible says, baby.
Wow.
I thought he was going to do something profound. I can't.
I'm wondering if Mrs. Fraser is listening to this comment.
Well, we know he's a punk.
Well, we know he's a punk when he comes
to us. Oh my goodness. You know, like I said, you're 22 years old. She's 29. You're not bringing to the table the same thing. Well, you know, when I look at the 22-year-old, I don't expect anything different from him in regards to taking the TV off the wall. I'll be honest. Because, you know, your youth, you know, plays a factor. Your lack of experience plays a factor. You know, I don't know. My thing is, you definitely are dealing with some real imbalance here when you're dealing with the 22 and 29. He's just coming into adulthood, and she's moving up out of that. How did he even end up with somebody 22 years old, Brother Al, and you 29?
Yeah, that what she get for messing with the little young buck. You know, she probably saw him, thought he was cute, because that's what's going on these days. A lot of these women don't care about, oh, he's cute, he got a nice body. You don't care about he's not mature or any of that. So you decided to say, okay, I'm going to make a life with him. And, you know women mature way faster than men. So, like you said, he's just getting into adulthood. He's probably still living at home with mom. He excited, oh, I'm moving in with this woman. And, you know, so now you're not, you know, I'm quite sure she had an expectation. Okay, he going to come in, he going to help out, he going to do that. She ain't throwing him out for no reason. He wasn't doing it. He wasn't keeping up his end of the bargain. So she said, you got to go. Oh, I got to go? All right, I'm taking the TV. And he might have didn't buy the TV. They probably went in on the TV. You know, the TV was $100. She put $125 and he put $25. You know what I'm saying? The TV was $200. She put $150. He put $50 to it. Now he want to try to take it back. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, dealing with the immaturity, he was immature as well. Wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for that. But it sounded good. So he jumped in it. And now you're mad. You want to take what else are you going to take back? What is, you know what I'm saying? That's all you have with the TV? What else did you put in?
Right. Because it says he took the TV off the wall and asked her for her phone because he thought she was seeing someone else. So, that dispels the fact that he paid the phone bill.
Pat says you get two lines for $50. You get two lines for $50. So again, he's not paying a whole bunch of money. And then you reacted on something that you assumed. Just like you said, I thought she was talking to somebody else or whatever. So that shows the immaturity there, that you wasn't mature enough to say, you know what, let me check out to see, you know what she's doing. Let me check out if I believe that she's cheating on me. Let me check out. Now, here's the thing that I will agree with. If me and you got a phone together and I'm paying the bill, and you out here cheating and you texting and y'all sending pictures, yeah, I'm cutting your phone off. You're not gonna do that on my time. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying the bill. You pay your own bill and do what you do. Now I can get with that, but I ain't not taking no TV and all that. But that's the thing. You're young and you're dumb. That's what it is.
All right. Pastor Kale, you know, we're talking about the age difference. You know, you're 22, she's 29. You know, already there's an imbalance because, you know, he's just walking into adulthood and she's walking into another level of adulthood. How do we even end up here? And do we expect or should we expect something different when you're dealing with a 22-year-old and you're almost 30?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to play a cougar or if you want to be a babysitter, you're going to have a baby. You know, and why should you expect him to be on another level? First of all, we all know that women mature faster than men. So keeping that in mind, you know, you 7 years his senior. So he still has a long way to even catch up to his age, to his present age, let alone your age. You know, he still want to go outside to play basketball with the fellas. He's not looking for, you know, I got to be home at a certain time because it's, you know, it's girlfriend time or wifey time or whatever. That, you know, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, you know, where the sex is like you rabbits, you know, that kind of calms down after a while, and then reality hits in, you know. And when that's done, you know, bills still keep coming. You know, I always say that the Bill family come to your house when you ain't home. They meet you at the house. You know what I mean? I come home and light bill is sitting at the door. You know, somebody water bill is sitting at the door. And I don't think he understood, you know, this type of responsibility. He was playing house. You know, when you kids and you play doctor, guess what? At the end of the game, you go home. The game don't last that long. You know, when y'all playing with whatever you play, at the end of the game, you go home. But he got into a game that never ends. It just goes to a different level. And he couldn't get to the next level as she wanted him to get to. He was just stuck in that first level.
Absolutely. I happen to agree, Pastor Kale, and with you, Brother Al. You know, when you play these games. When I looked at the age, it didn't catch me at first. And then I was like, wait a minute, I saw his age. I always saw his age. But I didn't catch her age. And when I saw the 20, I'm like, well, what was she doing with him in the first place? She's got a 9-year-old daughter. And let's assume that that was the oldest age of the children. Nah, he ain't ready for that. He's not ready for that. And again, do you really want that around your children? So, you know, that wasn't smart to begin with. And what, like you said, whatever y'all started off with, whatever, you know, pulled you in, then, oh, well, that seems to have ended. Oh, my goodness gracious. Gentlemen, you have done a wonderful job today giving us some thought-provoking things, some things to consider. And I thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation. And I pray you have a blessed weekend.
You do too. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
You as well. You as well.
Thank you so much. All righty. Oh, it's about that time. We've come to the end of the week, and we have so much to be grateful for. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, because you loved us enough to introduce us to June 17th, 2022. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing us another opportunity to get it right. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because we ushered in today in our right frame of mind. You ushered us into the day with our health and our strength. And you just do what you do best, and that's called love us and care for us. Lord, we've talked about so many ridiculous, heartbreaking responses, treatment, and decision-making. And Lord, we're going to lift up these families to you today. You know, father kills son. That family will never be the same again. And we're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, that you just heal and even heal the father who took his son's life. And we're not talking about a son who disappointed him in even the lifestyle he was living, but just based on disagreements. And we are just asking you to just cover his life where he understands what he did, the magnitude of what he did, and that he becomes a repentant individual. Lord, the dad who drowned his children, Lord, we're just asking you to take care of that family, God. What a loss. Such innocent lives. They haven't even had a chance to start their little lives. And again, it's just taken away so senselessly. And Lord, we're asking you to even cover that father's life when he realizes what he's done and that he can become repentant, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, this young man in his anger who took the life of the 9-year-old child. Lord, we ask you to be with that family, dear God. The healing that has to come to that family is also great. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to cover that life when he becomes repentant. And Lord, these people, murderers, but your healing power and your forgiveness, we thank you for, because we always look at things as this is in a greater area than my sin, a greater area than this sin, God, and it's all equal to you. And Lord, we're seeing the devastation of this world. And again, I say at the hands and from the mouth of people who say they don't want you. And this is what we're walking into. But Lord, we're asking for a great healing of the land. How this stuff even affects us as individuals, as people who are standing by and watching, and we're onlookers, and we're asking you to cover the life of little Nick, dear Heavenly Father, the six-year-old who was sexually abused, and his mother, dear Heavenly Father, who might be second-guessing her decisions, and did she choose wrong? And we're asking you, God, to just heal the two of them. And, Lord, we're giving you thanks that here we are, able to minister for you, not because we have not been through things, but because you have just grown us up to minister, to be able to minister, to invest in other lives, to put our own aches and pains on the side, all our disappointments on the side, to help heal the land from an earthly level. And we thank you, God, for choosing us. And we thank you, God, for healing us. And we thank you, God, for just helping us to move forward, because we've got a job on our hands. And I know sometimes, God, we disappoint you as well. We're not where we need to be. We don't do the things that we're supposed to do. But again, your forgiving power is there. And you love us enough to say yes one more time. So we thank you. We thank you for a week that we could focus and see you in all that has gone on, through all of the news. And if we even think about our own life, we think about how blessed we are when we think, when we hear these stories and we're speaking on these stories. We're so appreciative for all of the times you never sleep nor slumber. And we thank you for the time you invest in us. Thank you for keeping our families. Thank you for paying the bills. Even the bill that keeps us connected morning by morning. And we give you the glory and honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray, amen. It's an amazing experience to even just sit and look at these stories. And even if some of these stories hit close to home, when you think about where you could have been, maybe even where you should have been, but God has seen fit to say, no, not you. That although the same thing may have even happened to you, it didn't even go that far with you, because there was a God that said, no to you. And we're giving God thanks that he loves us like that. And it doesn't say he doesn't love others, but we have to rejoice in how we are dealt with. Last week with the man, we talked about, does the punishment fit the crime? And we talked about the times when, you know, God saw us doing bad and he addressed that bad. And we talked about the times when he saw us doing bad and he gave us a pass, you know, that there was a slap on the wrist. It didn't come across, you know, that punishment didn't hit us the way it should have. And in all this devastation, we understand that there's a major plan here. There's a master plan, and we may never understand it. We may never see it. But we say thank you, God. And we allow God to use us the way he needs to use us. And I think that's the best way you can say thank you to God. I don't know about, you know, the rest of you, but I'm at the point where, you know, somebody told me the other day, you know you don't think I do, I don't think about God, but, you know, I read my Bible, and, you know, it may not be the way you read your Bible, and but, you know, I read my Bible, and, you know, I'm doing what God said. And I'm like, really? I'm sorry. Somebody else told me a few weeks ago, you know, that they pretty much thought that they were fine where they were. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't let you believe that your lifestyle is okay with God. You cannot tell God, I read my Bible, and because I don't live a bad life, quote unquote, that it's satisfactory. Because again, I'll say, as I said earlier, God has explicitly laid out what is acceptable and what isn't. And he says, unless you are born again, you will not be entering, you will not enter the kingdom at all. So that's the first step. You must be born again. You being nice, I remember my grandma used to say, there'll be a whole lot of nice people in hell. Who did she used to say that thing? There'll be a whole lot of nice people in hell. And, you know, unfortunately, the enemy has us believing that all we have to do is be nice. That because I don't murder people, and because I'm not out here stealing, and because I'm not doing all of these other things, that I read my Bible, I'm living okay. And I'm living to the satisfaction of God. And when I got that a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I can't even let this conversation go another further with you believing that you're okay. Because if that's the case, then what in the world are we doing? What are we pressing towards? I might as well sit back like you and cross my legs and assume I'm going to be all right too. Why do you see me pressing so hard for your life? Why do you see me bringing the word of God to you at the level and the degree and with the passion I'm bringing it to you if this life that you're living is okay? We're not perfect, and that's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is we surely don't stand a chance. If the righteous shall scarcely make it in, then what in the world do you think your fate is? You must be kidding me. And I will quote, the devil is a lie. I could not believe the person told me that they were actually telling somebody, well, you know, I think I'm okay. And this was against being baptized. Somebody who said that they want to get closer to the Lord, and they don't think they have to get baptized because they can just get closer to the Lord. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't let you believe this stuff. You know, being born again, that's part of the process, being baptized. But hey, don't let me be the one. Because listen, I'm not exhausting that time, and I'm gonna be honest, because I'm on the mission that God has me on, and you can either take it or you can leave it. But I'm not spending the night with you, over and over and over again, trying to sell you on this. Listen, God has made the presentation. It's up to you to receive it or reject it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off for the weekend. And I want to thank my Due Time crew, my men, for taking us into a wonderful, thought-provoking weekend. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week. Please do not let the opportunity pass you by. And you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, where is the Word Prayer Project? Oh, God, still our life. I love you.